back to the topic at hand, stronger, lighter, faster. And again, we talked about it at lunch about, you know, building lightness into vehicles, and part of it has to do with structure. And our next speaker is Dr. Jody Hall. She's the Vice President of Automotive Market Steel Market Development Institute. I know I didn't get that right. But Dr. Hall is Vice President of the Automotive Market for the Steel Market Development Institute, where she's responsible for leadership of the Automotive Applications Council. She also coordinates the steel input to the Auto Steel Partnership, which has partner companies with FCA, Ford, and General Motors, as well as other steel-related consortia. Prior to joining the Steel Market Development Institute, Jody spent more than 30 years with General Motors. Starting to see a connection here somehow. with responsibilities ranging from research and development to new materials. Jody holds a doctorate of philosophy and a master of science in material science and engineering, as well as a bachelor of science in materials and metal, I'm not even try at this point, engineering from the University of Michigan. Jody, come on up. Do you want to hold the microphone or have it here? Whatever you want.
Yeah. And, thank you, John.
You can wander a little bit if you want.
Yes, not too much because they're videotaping, and plus you need to see slides, so I'm going to try to stay out of everyone's way. But thank you very much. I'm happy to be here at the NEMPA Technology Conference, and I'm going to talk to you about how making steel stronger will make vehicles lighter, and how we're doing that faster in terms of working and collaborating very closely with our automakers to show them how to implement new steels into production. So to do this, I thought it would be good to show you what we've done in terms of technology over the last 50 years. When people think of steel, people think of old technology, and that is far from the truth. There's quite a bit of technology, and we are even moving faster. So if we take a brief look over the last few decades, you're going to see how we've been innovating through the years. So I'm going to start off. I don't know how many of you are familiar with stress and strain, but we're going to talk about tensile strength and look at how steel is increasing in strength, and that's on the bottom, the x-axis. And then we're also going to talk about elongation, which gives you a relative idea of how formable the steel is. And I'm focusing on sheet steel, which is used for body structure and some chassis components. So the higher the elongation, the easier it is to stamp into a part shape. And then on the left-hand side, you're going to see the number of grades of steel grow. And grades of steel are sort of similar to flavors of ice cream, but they're different different types of steel that are out there for different applications. And because there are hundreds of parts on a vehicle, different materials, as Charlie pointed out earlier, different materials require different properties and performance. So starting off in the 70s, we had 7 grades of mild steel, and there are just different flavors that allow the automaker to design a part and get additional shape and draw it deeper. In the 70s, for those of you who remember or maybe read in the history books, there was the oil embargo, and that led to the introduction of corporate average fuel economy, or CAFE. Because of this, we needed to support the auto industry in shedding some weight. And how we did that is we came out with stronger steels, and this group of steels called high-strength steels. And these steels, because they're higher in strength, means that you can use less of them to do the same job. So this way, we helped the auto industry shed some weight to get better fuel economy. In the 90s, a lot of new safety regulations came around. Like the Safety Act was introduced in the 60s, but that was focusing on seat belts and lighting and things like that. By the time we get to the 90s, there's a lot of collision performance requirements that were put into place. And this required even more performance out of materials in the structure of the vehicle, and most vehicles are made out of steel. So the steel industry, again, collaborated with the auto industry and helped develop higher strength steels that could be applied to help get efficient safety into vehicles. So you can see here now we've gone from 7 to about 21 up to 65 and dramatically increased the choices that an engineer has to design vehicle parts. And then in the 2000s, we continued to innovate and to fill in some of the gap areas, again, to help the designer design the most efficient part. You can also see the introduction of aluminum alloys, which at this time was mostly used for hoods for the vehicle. There's a lot of mass in the front of the vehicle, and that was a good way to take out some extra mass. But also, hoods aren't very complex in shape, and because aluminum, you can see here, is lower on the chart than steel for the same area of strength, but because it is lower in elongation, it doesn't form as easily, and because it doesn't form as easily, you can't get as dramatic of shape. So it's much more difficult to design other components out of aluminum than steel because of that. In 2010, we continued to innovate, and we're adding some ductility to these high strengths because, like I said before, the higher the strength of the material, you're giving up some ductility. So if you can have that combination of high strength and high elongation, you can get some really complex geometries. And with complex geometries and good material properties, that combination gives you a very efficient, high-performing part. And then finally, what we're working on today. So we're still continuing to innovate, and we're bringing out a classification called third generation advanced high strength steel. And that, again, is to give more formability and options to the design engineer to make these components. And these are actually focusing in on some grades that have to be roll formed or hot formed, formed by alternative processes to get good shape. So we anticipate seeing a lot of these grades entering into the market very soon. And some of these early grades are coming out in vehicles today. So just to kind of focus in a little bit on where these steels are used and why they were introduced. If you look on the left, it shows highlights the front and the rear of the vehicle. This is the area where you need a lot of good energy absorption. And so you're going to use some higher strength grades, but also the ones with good energy absorption to keep that crash energy management, keep it away from the passengers. And then on the right-hand side, you can see the passenger compartment, and we use the highest strength steel grades in these components so that it prevents intrusion into the vehicle. It's for anti-intrusion so that the passengers don't get hurt. In this next slide, I'm going to show you a video. If I can get it started here. There we go. This is the IIHS 50th anniversary video. So it's a 1959 Bel Air, I know it's a shame they had to do this, and a 2009 Malibu, and it's demonstrating how far we've come in terms of safety. And you can see the Bel Air is a much beefier looking vehicle, but when you take a closer look, you certainly would not want to be inside that Bel Air. The Malibu is much safer. And this is 2009, so now it's 8 years ago already, and the vehicles continue to get safer for all of us. So I think we can all agree this is a very good thing. So, yes. So, go hug a safety engineer. So, another thing to consider is the complete cost of ownership. So, typically when people walk into a dealership and they're going to buy a new car, they're really excited, and they're excited about the design, they're excited about the performance, especially, good safety performance. Depending on what year we're talking about, they may or may not care about fuel economy. Right now, fuel is cheap, but a few years ago, it wasn't quite so cheap. So, all in all, people tend to buy the the priciest vehicle that they can afford. And sometimes if it's really flashy or something, they can easily be talked into buying something that's a little bit more than what they were planning to spend. But what they typically don't think about when they're buying that vehicle is how much their insurance rates are going to be. And they're certainly not thinking about that fender bender they might get into down the road and how much it's going to cost to repair. So one thing that we're doing in the industry is working very closely with groups like ICAR to help with repair procedures. And we work also with the automakers on those repair procedures so that this can be done at a very cost-effective price for the consumer. And, you know, as we continue to increase the strength of steel and make it safe for you to drive, when you are in an accident and a pretty bad one, it can be difficult to extricate the passengers. So we're also working with first responders to come up with new ways of getting passengers out because the jaws of life are just not strong enough for some of these steels. So we've worked very closely with that group as well. So one last topic before I close that is very important to the industry, and Charlie touched on this as well earlier, and it is driving emissions and actually life cycle assessment for the vehicle. Right now, corporate average fuel economy and also the EPA is tacked on the amount of emissions coming from a tailpipe, but everything's focused on the tailpipe, which is the centerpiece of this puzzle. And it really, the life cycle of a vehicle is important, not just the driving phase. So if you look at the production phase, what's happening today is that because we have to get the best powertrains, the best aerodynamics, and the lightest weight vehicles, automakers are being pushed to invest more in alternate materials. But some of those materials are add more pollution to the environment before the vehicle's ever driven than what they give advantages to during the driving emissions. So as you can see on the left here on the bottom, it shows the amount of emissions in making materials. And right now for body structure and chassis components, you know, the number one competitor to steel is aluminum. But you can see here it's about four times the amount of emissions just to make a kilogram of aluminum than for steel. And that's all happening, like I said, before a vehicle's ever driven. And in fact, our studies have shown that over the life cycle of the vehicle, some 11 and a half, 12 years later, you never make up for that, the emissions that you put into the environment initially. And in the end, recycling is very important as well. And the thing that steel has for it is it's magnetic and very easy to sort. And all the different grades that I showed you of steel can be melted together to produce any of those other grades of steel, which is very unique for that type of material. That's not true for the competing materials. So I'd like to summarize by saying that it's not just about MPGs. It's very important to have performance, which steel has very high performing material in terms of durability and adding to safety and lightweighting. It comes at the highest value to the consumer, and it's the most sustainable for the environment. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jody.